It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
This is the DraftKings Over Under Show with the Bankroll Boys, Joe Murray and Dan Lifshatz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, happy Saturday. I'm Joe Murray, he's Dan Lifshatz. It's the DraftKings Over Under Show. Tucker Silva's here. He's not ready for me today. He is not ready for me.
I mean, this is like a Jesus. Okay, Tucker, this is like a new Joe. I missed like 2 weeks. I got a new Joe here.
Yes, I like to come in early, Dan, and I like to get all the stuff out of the way.
I know you do,
so we can focus on the stuff that needs to be focused on, like betting. You know.
Yep, I get it. I don't have that responsibility, so I can't tell you what to do, man. I fully understand that. Just want to get everything out of the way so that you don't have to worry about anything during the break. I get it.
It's kind of like, you know, when he does his fantasy football show, he can just focus on, you know, who's playing this week and who's not, who's a good waiver wire.
I can't just focus on that, brother.
I mean, there's a lot to focus on in that show, right?
Oh, there's a ton. Oh. I keep up with the tweets, the Twitches, you name it.
Yeah. Well, we have to keep up with a lot of the bets. Which
and the tweets, which are never good.
And the tweets as well. All right, I'm ready, Dan. This is what I think we should do. We have 2 hours. 2 hours today. We did a podcast on Thursday night, and what we do on that podcast, we actually discuss every single game.
Yep.
Every single game. So we're not going to do that today. We're not. Like if you want to know how we feel about the Air Force-Navy game, you can go to the podcast and listen to our breakdown. Feel free to talk about it today if you want to call in about it, or if Dan has a pick on it, or something.
I actually did
like
give
that.
A play on that podcast.
Okay, there you go. Go there for that.
Yep.
What I want to do today is the good stuff.
Okay.
The Auburn Georgia game. That will be today. That is going to be fantastic. I'm looking at the Memphis SMU game, Dan. And I've come to a side, and I will give out that pick today.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's just two college football games, because there's plenty today. I want to do some NFL in the first hour, because we saved it. We've been short on the NFL a little bit lately.
Agreed. Yeah, no, I don't.
So we'll do a little bit of that. I have a total today on the Tampa Bay game with Tom Brady. So I will give out a total on that one. So for the people who say no picks, I got picks. I got picks today. So that's just one. And then I would just like to bring up last night, for those who dabbled, because there wasn't much out there. I know the NBA playoffs were on. Nice little backdoor cover by the Miami Heat last night.
Yep.
If you had 10.5 before tip, that's why sometimes it's worth waiting till tip.
Kelly Olynyk backdoor three. Gross.
How about that?
Yeah. I literally just had props in that game. I feel like it's almost impossible to play the finals and actually find some good value. Listen, if you got a good early Lakers number, then yes, because I think that you could probably get like 7.5, which I know a bunch of people did get. But you know, if you're taking, you know, the Lakers at 10.5, like, you know, after the lines moved, you know, 3-8. You're playing with fire regardless. And again, obviously, they didn't cover.
I've been doing a lot of props myself, Dan. So I've been taking that Miami team total over, you know, between 104 and 107. It's been money. It wasn't money in game one. But I blame that one on Dragic getting hurt and Bam leaving. And it still came, the game still almost hit the 216 was the over.
Yeah.
It finished at 214.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know there was some garbage points at the end. Missed on that, but I pushed on the Lakers team total second half, 51. Whatever.
Right.
Yesterday, I don't know what happened to me, but I saw Yu Darvish on the mound. And I go, Yu Darvish, Cubs season on the line. And I just looked at strikeouts. And I saw 6.5. And I saw under even money. And I go, You, what do you think there, Darvish? And I just randomly took the under. And he got lit up with 6 strikeouts left. It was 6.5 was the number. He got lit up. Home run, double, 2-0. He gets pulled. And I won.
Nice.
But that was like a half a point. Like, Yu Darvish was mowing him down. The other guy, 6-0 on the other team, damn, he's good.
He was the kid that they acquired. I can't remember what trade it was. It was with Philly, and they got him. He was the headliner prospect in that package. I think it was the Real Muto trade.
Gotta tell you guys, I'm liking the baseball tournament. It's quick, it's fast, it's easy. I mean, I think, have there been real upsets? I don't know. I mean,
the Marlins beating the Cubs is a legitimate upset.
I mean, the Marlins were the worst team in baseball, you could argue, last year. One of them.
That is a real upset.
That's an upset. I'll give you that.
Yeah.
How about the Padres beating the Cardinals? I won $100 from Rich Fred Toucher.
No, that is not an upset at all. The Padres were massive favorites.
Okay.
They were like minus 170 to -200.
A's over the White? No, nothing there.
Those teams are pretty similar. I think the White Sox ended up closing around the +110 mark. But you know, you might have been able to find some plus money on Oakland. I think that was pretty close to.
What about a Yankees sweep?
2-0 against Cleveland. I did not see the line for that. I do know that the Yankees were a pretty
decent there was slight and they're a slight favorite going into the next round.
I think they were pretty decent faves going into that round. Yeah, I don't know what the next round holds yet. I haven't seen any of the lines.
Astros.
The Astros were a dog. Yeah. They were pretty sizable dogs. That also upset over the Twins. That's another good one.
The tournament's fine. Now, for this year, I'm fine with it. Do I want that going forward? I don't know yet.
I don't know. I thought this was fun. Like, I kind of enjoyed the mini series.
And you know what? Actually, it did, Dan, for me. Let me be honest by saying I would not watch it unless there was action on it. I'm going to be honest.
Okay.
And I don't know if these guys back there, Tucker, Jeff's helping out today. Did you guys watch any of the Major League Baseball playoffs, Tucker? You, no?
Oh, God, no.
No, but if you had a betting interest, you might have watched it. But there's no interest. See, I don't know. I thought that Yankees game the other night, that was good. Yankees-Indians, that was a thriller.
I watched the Padres game last night for a little bit. I thought it was a pretty good game.
And the thing is, the Padres, like, Tatis, the next up-and-coming kid, right?
Yeah, I mean, that kid is a rising superstar.
Right, I mean...
If you're the White Sox, you have to feel like it's such an idiot franchise for trading that kid.
You know, I just think that, like, you actually are starting to learn a little bit more about these teams. But no, Tucker, he's out.
And the Padres did it without Clevinger or Denilson Lamet on their roster. Like, their best two pitchers didn't pitch in that series. So, like, you know, I think you do learn a little bit about these teams.
You know what sucks? No, actually, you know what's smart? No baseball today because they're smart. Everyone's going to be on college football today.
Yep.
Which we're going to do a ton of today.
But they are going up against the NFL.
So no games against Sunday, too.
Oh, there's no game Sunday?
Saturday, Sunday off.
Wow. Okay.
Smart.
You know what? That is effing brilliant.
Brilliant.
Good job.
And then that. Monday, they're going Astros A's. Yankees at night with the Rays.
So you lose the night game, the Monday Night Football, but you're definitely never going to win. But what are you going to go up against? Honestly, baseball might be doing better than the NBA
the
finals.
NBA, dude,
they are getting right. Crushed. I was watching La Tech, and I was not watching the NBA finals game, okay? Watching the La Tech game, we'll get into it. Just to give you an example, the preview, like the preview amount of people watching the game, Joe, more people are watching the La Tech BYU college football game than the NBA finals last night. And I know this was a big topic on 2-6 yesterday. Or yeah, you know why is no one watching the NBA? My short answer is I don't know. I think it's a combination of everything. But if you're going to tell me that it's you're going to tell me it's just the COVID stuff, I'm not buying it. It's more than that. It's probably some political stuff which I personally don't understand because I think that's a stupid reason not to watch sports. But that's me. I think it's probably some fact that it's the bubble. I don't know. All I know is that I think going up against the NBA Finals, if you're baseball, right now doesn't look that tough.
But speaking of last night's game, you mentioned there was an early game. I think people missed the, because we had the Jets and the Broncos on Thursday night, and that's all there was. And again, it got entertaining at the end until.
I thought that was a really good game.
I took the Jets and I lost, and I'm shaking my head for it. I thought it was the right side, Dan. I'm still.
If you got a three on the Jets,
I had to pick them. Yeah, I had to pick them.
I would never have taken the Jets out of pick them. I would have taken the Broncos out of pick them. I would probably would have taken the Jets at three.
Oh no! When they went up and had a lead, and then sacked Rippon on third down. Little did I know a little flag came in for that.
It's Gase.
Well, I think that's Williams teaching his dude. But listen, I lost a bet. I lost a bet. It's over. You can't have seven personal foul penalties in a game and win.
You can't.
That's what upsets me. I backed
the Broncos
that crap.
Had three turnovers.
Yeah, ripping through a pick six and a interception in a row. I'm saying is that implosion that they should have stamped it. And when you have a chance to knock out a team on fourth down, you do it.
You don't kick the field goal. Stop being minus EV in these situations.
Okay, let's bring a scenario up. The average.
And you, by the way, you can draw this back to betting because these are scenarios where you are minus EV or plus EV in these situations.
You just nailed it.
Your winning percentage or not.
You just nailed it. A normal viewer is watching that game going, hey, you got to go for it. You're 0-3. Right? The normal viewer. Oh, dude, you got to go for it. So the gambler who has the Jets is saying,
kick the field goal.
Well, no, not even that. I was go for it. Well, kill the clock.
Oh, it depends.
Score a touchdown, or like you had so much momentum.
It depends on what time it is, because if there was
5 minutes left in the game,
right? So if the Jets kick the field goal, they go up by one. If the Broncos,
if they get stuffed, they stole three timeouts in the 2 minutes.
I'm talking
warning.
About if you have a three or a two and a half, you're rooting Gase to kick the field goal.
I know.
Okay. As long as we agree there.
If you had the two or the three, yeah. Do you see the difference? Scenarios though in that game. For me, I'm like, go for it.
I mean, as a fan, just in general, a football fan, and you hate the Jets, you root for them to get the field goal. If you want the Jets to win, you're like, well, Gase, what are you doing?
And then last night, there's two college football games. I saw people on the under in both of them. I saw people on the over in both of them.
The whole world was on Campbell last night.
Okay. I agree with you. I took under first half, which hit. Thank God.
I like that.
Thank
play.
God.
That was a really good
It was
play.
At 40 at one point. It went down to 38.5 is what I got.
I thought that was a really good play.
What happened was Campbell had three and out, and every three and out, Wake Forest scored.
Yep.
Wake Forest. I thought Wake Forest was going to hit 69 points.
They almost did.
I was like, the total was 69. Wake Forest scored 66, I think. Something like that. Yeah.
I think it was 66.
The Campbell world, they covered three in a row. Right? Was it two or three in a
three
row
in
there?
Three in a row before.
That's what happened. That's what happened. And listen, there was a night game after it. A lot of respected guys I saw had the under. We discussed it. I thought the number is 60, maybe you should have gone over on it. But I think people are disrespecting BYU's defense at this point. Because I know that they've smoked Navy. We saw them destroy Troy. And last night, Louisiana Tech was a pretty good offense going into it. They were held to 14 points. And I don't know, BYU scored 40 now in what, three straight? I think they have a really easy schedule.
Because of everything with COVID, you know? They're an independent team, so they don't have a conference schedule, so it's a little different. But yeah, Joe, I mean, you're right. And I think that we saw that with the 24-point spread. And I knew the majority of people were on La Tech money line, La Tech plus 24, because it's dog and overnight on Thursdays. Right? That's what all the bettors do. Dog and over Thursdays in college football. Oh, the whole world love La Tech. The whole world love Campbell. Neither of them covered. Neither of them. And I thought BYU, and by the way, Zach Wilson, holy hell, that kid can play. That kid made NFL level throws last night. And I've watched BYU twice this year. The Navy game was unwatchable for me because the Navy game, you didn't learn anything about the team.
No,
you
nothing.
Learned that Navy didn't tackle, and you watched them and you said, okay, well, this is just ridiculous. BYU's running it down the throat. Who the hell knows how good they are? BYU, that kid can play. That kid, look, Joe, looked like an NFL prospect last night. Legitimately,
he's still a sophomore, right? He was a redshirt last year. He looked good. And they kept playing that kid Mangum, which I never understood. He's there forever. Just looking at BYU schedule real quick. UTSA next week. Houston. Has Houston played a game yet?
He is a junior. I lied. He's not a redshirt. Okay. Freshman. He's a junior.
And I know he got hurt a little bit last year.
Yeah, he got banged up.
Has Houston played yet? Because if they play BYU first, sorry. Because they were supposed to play Baylor, right? Game got canceled.
Yep, that was.
And I don't know, actually.
I think they're playing Tulane Thursday.
Okay. They need a test before BYU. I'm sorry.
Right.
But listen to this BYU schedule. UTSA, Houston, Texas State, Western Kentucky, Boise, and North Alabama. They could run the table, dude.
Western Kentucky is way down from last year. UTSA is 3-0, but we've talked about them on the podcast. I think they're kind of a fraud.
Texas State fought BC last week, but I think BYU is better.
But that was also, we talked about it on the pod as well. That was a massive look-ahead spot for BC.
Yeah, it was North Carolina.
UNC this week. And we saw that clearly in the first half, down 21-7 and end up winning, 24-21. Didn't allow a single point in the second half or whatever it was. So, BYU should run the table. Forget about everything else. They should run the table. They have a really, really easy schedule remaining. I mean, Boise State and San Diego State are their two toughest games. And San Diego State lost their defensive coordinator. And Boise State, well, we just don't really know what they are yet, Joe. That game's not until November. So BYU is going to have, a while to start prepping for that team. Yeah, BYU, outside of maybe Boise State, should absolutely run the table this year, without a doubt.
All right, so that's the update. Anything else that happened this week before we start getting into it? Trying to think there.
Let's see. The Saints, and I guess, we didn't really
have to see this,
but the Saints have had their entire team rolled out. I mean, it's bad. Michael Thomas is out. Davenport's out. Lattimore is out. I know I'm blanking on some other key members of that defense who are out for the Saints, too. They just have all sorts of injuries. Like, it's legit. Like, the whole Saints roster is really out. And we've seen that line go from 5 to 4.5 or 4 down to 3. And now we're sitting at a 3-point spread. So that was the other
one. We're going to do NFL in the first hour. I just kind of want to tease the top 25 games coming up here on the other side just to give you a couple. Florida plays South Carolina. TCU, Texas, we know about that series. Tennessee backers, they play Missouri today. Pitt, NC State, Alabama, Texas A&M. BC plays an interesting game today at home versus North Carolina. Memphis, SMU, and the big one today for me is Auburn, Georgia. That's going to be the game of the day for me. And
we'll get into some of the bigger games.
Yeah, and there's other games too as well. And then the NFL has a really good. I think this is a tough week overall. Like if you're betting on games, you mentioned the Saints. They play the Lions.
Wow, I forgot to mention Jared Cook, Andres Pete, and Janoris Jenkins also out for the Saints.
Oof!
Like hit after hit.
And of course, we'll break down the Patriots and Chiefs game, which is tomorrow right here on 98.5 The Sports. So he's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Murray. We're starting it off with college football top 25 coming up next. If you want to jump aboard, 617-779-0985. We'll talk to you after the break.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings Over-Under Show. I'm Joe Murray. He's Dan Lifshitz. Dan, some people are all set with the NBA bubble already. Can I just share something that has nothing to do with gambling that I heard on the way in today? I tweeted that out in case you didn't see it. LeBron James is being praised for being able to win inside a bubble because Jordan could never survive the bubble. That was an actual conversation that I heard on the way in today.
Was that from the show that's before us?
But Dan, listen to me. I'm going to make this a gambling topic now. You mean to tell me that Michael Jordan wouldn't be on the golf course all day in the bubble? and wouldn't be gambling with his friends.
Michael Jordan would be the happiest man alive in the bubble. I don't know.
Now, Rodman, on the other hand, I don't
Rodman
know.
Rodman would leave the bubble seven times.
But listen, LeBron's good. LeBron's great. He's great. But please, we got to stop with the LeBron. There's too many LeBron, like until LeBron wins seven, don't talk to me. Just don't talk to me. If he wins seven, I'll be like, we have a conversation here.
Until LeBron stops crying every single time he drives to the hoop and starts calling his own fouls, then I can.
No, I think what bothered me more is he was upset about the MVP award. Like, just be thankful. Like, just thank the guy who won. You know? Congratulate him. That's my only bet.
Be fair, the MVP bowed out in the second round and sucked the whole series, so I kind of understand his frustration.
No, I get it, too. I'm just he should throw a shot at him, then. Throw a shot at him. Hey, you bowed out.
I think he did.
Okay.
I think he did. Right. I think that's what he said. He said, that guy's your MVP? Like, you know?
There's a lot of tweets about this today that I just looked up now.
But, the saying that Michael Jordan would not survive the bubble is one of the dumbest conversations that we can have. Please. That guy would thrive in the bubble. He'd gamble all day with his teammates. He'd be on the golf course 24/7, and he would absolutely rip the face off anyone in this tournament, including the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. All right, Dan. So there's some big games today, but I just wanted to mention some line movement that we've seen since Thursday.
Sure.
One of the games that I know you're on or like is Baylor, West Virginia. The line's gone from 3 to 1.5.
I didn't like it. I was just telling you that there was a large amount of sharp money coming.
Baylor going on the road scares the crap out of me.
Hey, again, tough trip to Morgantown. You know, we kind of talked about, you know, what everything that Baylor went through last week. They beat a Kansas team. They look good doing it, but they beat an unprepared freshman who was not supposed to start the game. So it's like, I'm not really sure how much I'm supposed to take from that. That's all.
I'm staying off of that game. I know people want to touch some noon. They want that noon action. Baylor's played well. And I don't think West Virginia's that good. I don't. But there's something about that team, Baylor, going on the road that scares me. They could win today. They could. I think that Baylor's a better team, has a better quarterback than West Virginia. But that first-year coach now going on the road, that's to me a spot I don't like.
I thought Jerry Doge's played very well so far, though, for West Virginia. Yeah. So, I mean, yeah. You know.
Since Will Grier's gone, he's developed, and we'll see what he is. Well, they're at home today. I don't know if there's any fans there, but I noticed a lot of these games that do have fans, they've been done well. Texas, off that thriller last week, plays TCU. That line was now 13-10. So that's one that's happened. Florida, I love.
We talked about that Texas game on the podcast
in length.
I think this is probably one of the worst spots that you can have in general if you're a Texas football
for people fan. Who love Texas, just know that TCU is the thorn in their side for years. Now TCU did lose at home last week to Iowa State, 37-34, but history shows that TCU has owned this series at least for the last couple of years. So be careful here today. The only thing I will say about Texas is they've put up so many numbers in the first couple of games that, like, their offense is almost unstoppable. It's their defense that's a huge problem. And TCU can slow that down. They can certainly do that today. So I know people love to take these home teams that are ranked. And that used to be the thing, Dan. Early in season, double-digit favorites against unranked teams. The Big 12, you never know, man. That's like the one conference that, when it comes to betting on teams like that, I stay away.
And again, let's not forget, Max Duggan did not start that game last week. It was Matthew Downing came in, and I think they had 7 points at half, and came in and ended up with, 34? I think he scored 27 the second half. I mean, they're a different team with Duggan at the helm.
Florida, at home, takes on South Carolina. We saw what South Carolina did a week ago. The number is 16.5. I think Florida wins this game. I just don't know by how many. And I don't know if we're looking at South Carolina as, good from playing a competitive game a week ago. I'm going to lay off that one, but I would lean Florida. Leans, if anybody wants to make them plays, go ahead. But I like Florida in this spot. I thought Trask was great. They're still doing the two-headed monster at quarterback. And at home, that defense is still really good, even though Ole Miss put up some yards and numbers last week.
Yeah, I mean, they did. But, I mean, again, and we did talk about this on the podcast, but Florida's tight end,
Pitts.
Kyle Pitts, is a legitimate matchup nightmare, I think, for, I'd say, the large majority of these SEC teams in general. You know, unless you're facing like a Bama, you can dedicate, you know, legitimate defenders, real five-star recruits. That kid is big, talented, fast. He's a matchup nightmare. And South Carolina, again, I thought got a lot of help from Tennessee's quarterback last
Tennessee
week.
Tennessee stunk last week.
Quartano.
Terrible.
Who is just, he's not good, man.
They survive in advance. I don't know how they do it, but they do it. Tucker, next year, Kyle Pitts, put him on your fantasy watch list. I believe he may come out, but that's the next tight end. Him and the kid from Penn State who's not playing this year. The big number 87 there.
Also, the kid from BYU, Bushman.
Ooh, yes.
Bushman's another one on that.
So there's some tight ends that are...
some real, like, actual tight ends who might be pretty good in the next year or two.
NC State, Pitt, Nooner. I know NC State puts up points. Pittsburgh's been good. Both teams 1-1 against the spread. Nope.
Pittsburgh, I think, is 2-1 against the spread. Or maybe 1-1-1, depending on where you got the line last week, because they absolutely covered versus Austin Peay. So, we talked about this game the other night. I'm going to repeat the same thing. Pittsburgh's offense and their quarterback need to be more efficient, and especially against NC State, you're going to have to score, because I do think that NC State's offense, whether it's Leary starting or the other quarterback, I'm blanking off the top of my head, whoever's starting for NC State today, whether it's a rotation, whatever, that offense is explosive. They can score. They will put up points. This is not going to be it's unlikely that Pittsburgh's going to hide them, you know, under 20 again. So I think Pittsburgh and, you know, that offense, Kenny Pickett has to get them going. Has to. Especially if they want to cover that 14 number, which is a real big number because it's in Heinz Field. So,
all right, Dan. Well, before we hit the break here, because I want to do some NFL stuff as well. Of the team that I fear noon today. Noon could be like a blood. I think there's better games 3:30 on today. So my betting suggestion is to watch the noon games today. Watch how things play out. But if there was a game you had a side or a total on early on, between Tennessee, Missouri, Baylor, Virginia, Texas, TCU, Florida, South Carolina, NC State, Pitt, is there anyone that you feel good about?
I gave one out on the podcast.
All right, listen to it on the podcast.
I'll give you something else because I know because you asked the question. Again, it's not one of the games that you discussed, but Arkansas State, Coastal Carolina.
We
discussed that game the other day. I told you in the podcast, I very much like Coastal Carolina. I think Arkansas State's being a little too respected here. Coastal Carolina being disrespected.
I agree.
The line's at 3. If you can get a 3 in a hook, I think you have to play Coastal.
I love Coastal. Love their uniforms. They got a rooster as their...
the Chanticleers, yes.
Yeah.
They
have a rooster, yeah.
Yes.
And a bunch of kids from there are from here, this area.
Yeah, they
somehow the Coastal Carolina recruiting pipeline is somehow Brockton, Mass. I don't know how that's happened.
It's all the BC kids who couldn't get into that school, or maybe, you know, don't like, fall under the category of what,
like,
they need.
This kid's from Dorchester, Mass. And I'm like, what? That's the, like, pipeline? These are the guys beat BC, can't get these kids?
They're good. So I would look at a Colt.
If you could find
a hook on a Coastal Carolina, I would look at a 3.5.
You know, the only thing that scares me about that one is, you know how there was the Campbell love last night? I have the Coastal Carolina love. Coastal Carolina played Campbell, actually.
Well, you may personally have it.
I have the personal love because Coastal now put in their backup quarterback. He's good. And they can run the hell out of the ball. Their defense is legit. Coastal Carolina's defense is good. But we saw Arkansas State with an upset already. So
we have, and again, the thing is they haven't played since like September 12th? Yeah, September 12th. Okay. So that was the last time they played, and Coastal Carolina has been rolling right along. Now, again, they had a nice, not to mention Coastal had a nice bye week to prep for this game. So they played Campbell 2 weeks ago. They have a bye. They had a bye week, and now they're playing here. So I don't know. I think this is a pretty, you know, half decent spot for them. I really do.
I do too. I'm gonna play some Alice in Chains, play some Rooster, and then see how I feel.
And again, Arkansas State put up a really good fight versus Memphis. I just think that this is a conference game in Coastal. We're probably giving Arkansas State a lot of love for that Kansas State victory when they were probably looking ahead. I think that Coastal, and especially with the way that they're playing right now, is a decent play with Grayson McCall. But I think you need the hook to play it.
All right. Dan mentioned Memphis. They take on SMU today. That's a huge game in that conference. And also locally here, Boston College hosts MacBall, UNC. We'll see how that one works out today. I want to get into some NFL games. There's a couple of 1 o'clockers that stand out that we got to talk about. Phone number here, 617-779-0985. He's Dan Lifschatz. I'm Joe Murray. This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub. It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay woke. Stay up. Someone just wrote it. First 30 minutes of the show can always be a little hazy. So I wake up early. I'm 5:30. I'm up. I get the today, whoever made this coffee, thank you. Things great.
I woke up at 5:35. I don't drink coffee, so like I just have to like naturally kind of wake
up. Yeah, we got to like fire you up somehow.
Yeah, you know? I don't like coffee.
Tucker, how you doing?
I'm good, man. I had a coffee last night at 4:30, and I've got one right now.
Are you doing okay, dude?
Oh, yeah.
You a little jittery back there?
Yeah.
That's the thing with me. I give myself at least 90 minutes before I, you know, no wake and take, no none of that.
Wake and bake?
Nope, none of that.
No, not that either.
That's right.
The wake and take, though, back in the day was like a cup of coffee. Like, I haven't done it in years, but like that was like a
oh, do you do it for TNR? Do you do the
no? I haven't. I haven't in a year, gotcha. Over a year.
Okay.
Do you want to?
Every day. I'm like, man, this would be. The problem is we have so much stuff to do. There's so many things. I don't want to like get lost. Anyway, people are saying the first 30 minutes. I'm sorry. It might be me. I'm like blah, 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 top 25. Blah.
No. See, I think you're raring to go on Saturday mornings. Thursday, you're tired, and
oh,
I'm
Thursday
good.
Night, it sucks.
Thursday night, I'm good, you're tired, and then Saturday morning, you're good.
I'm like,
tired.
We can't do 2 hours tonight, and it's 2:15, and yeah. I'm like, oh, jeez.
I mean, yeah, part of so it.
We've been neglecting the NFL on this 2 hours. We're now 2 hours, everybody, 2 hours! We need, like, one of those, like, inflatable things, balloon
wacky
guys.
Wacky waving inflatable.
Yeah, there you go, that guy.
Yeah, okay.
That translates to radio well.
Yeah, I know what you meant.
Like, hey, 2 hours, everybody! Like, up on 93, it's just, Bankroll Boys, 2 hours! That coffee, I'm telling you. So, 1 o'clock games today. I'm just going to read them down, and then we'll discuss them.
Tomorrow.
Sorry, for Sunday.
I got you.
Colts, Bears! Jaguars, Bengals, right off the bat, vomit. And then Browns, Cowboys, woof, woof. Like, right away, it's like, geez. But Saints, Lions, I'm interested in that one.
There's been a lot of movement in that line.
I see 3 right now.
Yeah, it was 5 the other day, went down to 4. Now, I think Thursday night when we did the pod, it was 4.5. And then Michael Thomas got ruled out, Lattimore got ruled out, Jared Cook got ruled out, and I'm pretty sure that just kind of tanked the line.
Seahawks, Dolphins is another one here. Seahawks, 5, that old number 5 there.
A lot of movement on that one.
That's a dead number.
6.5, 7 on Sunday. It's now 5.5.
When I see 5, 5.5, I'm out on either side.
And by the way, I got criticism for talking about the West-East thing. And let me explain that. The West-East thing is dead, except for Florida. Like, I thought that was very clear when I said that. Miami, the West-East thing, when you're traveling from, like, upper Northwest to like south, like the bottom of the southeast.
Tucker just did it. I just saw Tucker's motion. You were talking about it. He was going doing it.
Up here. I just saw that. Here. Like, I mean, mean, that's a legitimate thing. Now, the West-East thing, if you're, like, looking at it as an angle, it doesn't matter. But going from, like, upper quadrant to lower quadrant in Florida, Florida has actually been, like, a thing. And I think the Chargers have struggled in Florida as well. So that was the other thing that
Seahawks.
I pointed out. I'm saying the Chargers are going to Tampa as well. So I'm talking about Seattle going to Miami.
Yeah, this week.
And the Chargers going to Tampa. And so those were the two I talked about. And everyone's like, oh, but you told me the West Coast thing was dead. Yeah, I agree. But I think that there are, again, certain situations where you can look at something and say, well, this is a exception to the rule. I don't think that's ridiculous. And Miami going to Miami is an exception to the rule. And the Chargers in Florida have been an exception to the rule as well. So I don't know if that needed to be explained further.
Okay, and you mentioned Chargers, Bucks. I have a pick on that coming up.
Awesome.
So stay tuned for that one. Ravens, Washington, double-digit road favorite, awful loss.
Short week.
On a short week, but you got to back Washington.
I was going to say, I think you have to. I was looking at the stats. The yards per play, I think the difference is like a 1.4 yards. Like offensively, you're not looking at a major, major offensive difference.
Well, Washington ever look at Smith or Allen?
I mean, they're 1-2 so far. Aren't they tied for first in the NFC East? I mean,
yeah, technically you're right. You can't yet.
I don't think they can yet. I think Haskins needs to have like a. Believe it or not, bad games in a row.
625 yards passing, 4 touchdowns for Haskins.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really high on Haskins. I didn't love him coming out of Ohio State, but he really hasn't been, you know, horrendous, although he was bad last week versus Cleveland.
How about McLaurin? Is that one of your guys there, Tucker?
I love Terry McLaurin. I'm fading all Redskins this week in terms of fantasy.
He's out, isn't he?
No, he's questionable.
Okay. Maybe he's questionable. I don't think he's going to play. He definitely did not practice yesterday. I know that.
Cardinals Panthers is another one. I just want to stress this one. We used to do a thing. I don't know if it's still in the system or not, Tucker. Square play alert. Square play alert. Cardinals -3 versus the Panthers. This might be. Have we looked at what's the highest bet team this week?
It has to
be this team.
I think it's Baltimore. The Rams at 78% and Baltimore at 76%. Arizona's behind them at 74%.
Yeah. Okay, so besides a double digit dog or favorite or whatever, you have minus. This is the squarest player of the week. Do you dare? Do you dare? Because I think the Cardinals are better than the Panthers.
Kyler Murray off a loss on the road. Carolina got a big win versus a rookie quarterback. This is one of those. Is Matt Rhule going to have his team ready to go and ride the momentum, Joe? I think that's the real question, right? Is Matt Rhule going to have his team ready to go? What type of coach he is? I think you stay off the spot because you don't know how Matt Rhule reacts in these spots, and you don't know how his team reacts in these spots yet. Arizona, you would expect to win this game, but are they maybe not as good as we thought they were from beginning early on the season? That's all. That's the way I would look at it. This would be something I would stay off completely in terms of the actual and an actual side on that one, to be honest with you.
All right, so I saw a couple of things here. The Cardinals on the road, their last 10 games, 7-1-2 against the spread.
Damn good. But again, they were kind of underdogs last year, right? I mean, they were still like this wily young, you know, Kyler Murray's a rookie rookie quarterback, and they're still a young team and yada yada. I think there's like legitimate expectations since they started the season 2-0.
Two more trends. The Panthers in their last 11 games overall are 1-10 straight up.
I know, but new coach, new quarterback. How much stock can you put into, you know, what happened last year with Kyle
Allen
and Will?
Okay, all right. As an underdog at home, 0-4-1 so far, everything this year, besides going on the road last week. So I'm just giving you the trend. These are trends, people. You can make up your own mind.
I get it.
The trends tell me one thing. The line tells me that it's 3. Something's not right there.
Again, I'll just say new coach, new quarterback, it's hard to kind of go off prior trends with a whole new face of the franchise. That's my only thing.
All right, Tucker, I got one for you. Two 0-3 teams, Vikings, Texans, if I was to give you my money and put it on something, which team would you take here?
And by the way, the spread is Houston minus 3.5.
Oh, 3.5 was 4. Okay.
I know. Yep. Yeah, 3.5.
But is this the worst game of the week?
In terms of betting?
Yes.
Yes. If anything, I'd probably take the over there. I think that's got shootout potential.
54.
I think the whole world's going to be on that over now.
You think?
I think. Mm-hmm. Open at 54.5.
It's, I mean, those are two desperate teams.
Down to 53.5. It's down.
54, dude?
Open to 54.5. It's 53.5 now.
I would probably lean Texans just because I think the Vikings defense is just can't be fixed that quickly. I don't know what the hell's going on with them.
What is happening with them?
I don't know. I honestly thought they were a top five
dude. Rhodes, Griffin, gone.
Yeah.
Those are two big losses.
But then they acquired, what's his face from Jacksonville?
Yep.
I'm blanking on his name.
No, I got you.
But, you know, they still got Harrison Smith there. Yeah, Ngakoue. Yeah,
there
you
go. Yep.
They just don't look right on D.
And we hear about this Kirk Cousins 1 o'clock magic, too, you know?
I mean,
they had that win last week. They blew it.
Week one, he was really good. And he was good last week, too. I mean, how many points did they
put? The Texans were good last week. They blew it late to Ben Roethlisberger, too. Right.
Yeah, no.
Both these teams, I don't know who's going to win. Who wants it?
I thought both these teams played well and got unlucky in certain situations. And I think the Steelers are really good. And and Houston just kind of lucked into a bad, you know, luck boxed into a bad schedule there.
Listen, I always look for like an advantage when it comes to betting. I see none here.
Yeah, I want to stay away from this game.
Like even the over. Oh yeah, both teams. But like, I don't even know if I could do that.
Right. I would. To me, I think this is a game you want to watch, though, right? I mean, are you guys interested at all in this game? Because I think this game determines the season for both teams.
From an entertainment standpoint, yeah, I think it's one of the games of the week.
And by the way, Bill O'Brien loses his game. Are we talking about Bill O'Brien being removed from head coach? If you start 0-4 and lose to an 0-3 team at home, well, is that it? I mean, is that enough
get
Bill O'Brien fired? Because I think that if the Texans want their coach, I think they have to play.
What was it, like 2 years ago they started 0-4 and made the playoffs?
Yeah, and I was going to bring up this trend.
But the AFC South was so bad a couple years ago, it's not that bad anymore.
When the Texans are a home favorite, their last 8 games, they're 2-6 against the spread. The Vikings are 4-0 straight up and against the spread the last 4 games versus the Texans overall.
I just think that the Texans offense is too fast for the Vikings right now.
I mean,
I think Will Fuller's going to go off.
I think that's true, but
By the way,
can Houston stop the run? Like, have they? Because they haven't done a good job.
And that's Dalvin Cook's been good.
Dalvin Cook's been really good. I thought he was one of their best players last week.
Hey, just one thing for the break. That Cardinals game is Hopkins playing? Do anybody have an update on that one?
So he's like very questionable. Like it kind of came out of nowhere yesterday or Thursday. It's something to keep an eye on.
That could be affect the line.
Oh yeah,
he's been great. And you know, Kirk is a kid I think who needs to get it going there.
I mean, he has been trash so far early in this year. He needs to figure it out. But I mean, hey, if DeAndre Hopkins doesn't play, what happens?
I mean, Fitz goes. It's a loss for them. I mean, a loss offensively.
I don't think he practiced Friday either.
He's very questionable.
Yeah, maybe that's why the line is what it is. We'll take a quick break. I'm going to give you a pick. One pick. Maybe Dan's got something. I don't know.
I got a call. I'll go.
I get something in the NFL. You get something in college. We'll do that as we hit the break here. 98.5 The Sports.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
DraftKings over under show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have. have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz, the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You blow money fast on this ass. Catch up. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover. Whipping. Hallelujah. One nation. Under God. Real. Getting money from the stars. I think I'm Big Meech. Larry Hoover.
All right, picks.
Hallelujah.
Big Meech, Larry Hoover. All right, Dan, I'm giving one out. Unless you want the floor first.
No, please feel free.
Okay, NFL. Been looking at this one this week. It's been declared that Mr. Herbert will be starting for the Chargers, and that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they're at home. They're starting to get going a little bit. Tampa Bay ranks second in yards per play allowed. That's not good. Tampa Bay ranks 20th in penalty yards allowed. Not good.
Not a surprise, but not good.
Okay. The total has gone over in four of the Chargers' last five games on the road, while the total has gone over in 14 of the Buccaneers' last 17 games overall. Huh. Now, I know that's a little bit of Jameis Winston. I'm taking the over 42.5. 42 is what I got. I'll give 42.5 as well. All right. But listen to me. That's a lot of points. I mean, that's saying bad things about the Bucs more than it is about the Chargers. But I think that the Chargers will be able to put up points. I think Brady and their offense will be able to put up points. 42, dude. All you got to do is give me what? 24-20? 24-20, and the spread's 7, right?
Yep.
Yeah. 28-17 game, something like that?
Yeah, I mean, again, you need the rookie to play well, I think is what you're banking on.
So I'm going over 42.5, and it's based off how bad. I got more. If you want more trends, they're there. But the only other thing I'll tell you is the Bucs have been good as a straight-up favorite. 6-1. Their last 7 as a favorite, and then, of course, not a lot of those are with Brady, but I like trends, and the trends say over.
Joe likes trends, and the trends like him. All right, I will go. I'm going to the college, South Florida, Cincinnati. The ugly game on the board, right? We talked about how bad South Florida has been. Cincinnati coming off a big win against Army, probably a letdown spot. I expect them to revert offensively because of the letdown spot. I expect South Florida to score maybe a little bit, but they're horrendous offensively. They just got shut out by Notre Dame in a 52-0 blowout. I don't expect their offense to be any good this week again against a really good Cincinnati defense. So give me Cincinnati, South Florida, under 45.5. Lock PP.
Worked last week for you. We know South Florida scores no points.
And the Cincinnati under hit last week. And
the under was
45. Yep.
Hopefully we're 2-0 on that.
I would like that.
We gotta get hot.
We gotta get going. Yes.
Gotta get it going.
It's week four. It's been all fun and games so far. I'm tired of it. We gotta get going.
Let's go. Let's hit the headlines here. Let's get into more of these games coming up next. That's the Over Under 985 DraftKings show.
If it's the biggest games in sports, you bet they're talking about it. This is the DraftKings Over Under show with the Bankroll Boys on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, hour two of the Over-Under 98.5 Bankroll Boys DraftKings show on Saturdays, whatever we want to call it.
The Over-Under DraftKings, the NFL show. How about that?
There you go.
Okay.
Couple of games coming up here. We'll look at the Colts and the Bears, and then we'll get into the Patriots Chiefs as well. And let's not forget the big one tonight. Between Auburn, they travel to Georgia. Let's go to the phone lines here at 617-779-0985. Any game you guys want to talk about today? College, NFL. I want. Oh, there's racing, horse racing today. I got nothing. No college baseball. MLB baseball today. Anything you want to talk about? Call in.
You didn't even call about the WNBA last night.
Storm, that's right.
Storm up 4-0 in the series.
I watched that. You know why? Because it was on TV. And I'm like, where is the Wake Forest game? Where is the Wake Forest game? And I had WNBA, and I go, is this what I'm stuck with?
Can I give you 30 seconds on that game?
Aces have Bill Laimbeer as their coach.
Yes, and they average like three threes a game.
They hit seven. I saw that.
And they were tied. Then they went down 17. They came all the way back, made it one, and they lost. They ended up getting blown out again. They lost by 13.
I watched the game, unfortunately, and I had no money on it. Believe that?
Sue Bird scored 2 points, and they won by 13. Good luck. Good luck, Aces. Good luck.
Andrew's in the car. Hello, Andrew. You're on the DraftKings Over-Under Show.
Morning, guys. So I've been going back and forth. Detroit at home, dogs. Patricia heading into a bye week. He needs the win. Coming off a decent win against the Arizona team. Noah's coming off a bad loss to Green Bay. So just want to get your thoughts, and I'll hang up and listen on what you guys are looking at for that game, whether you're going spread or you're going total.
Thanks. I'll tell you this much. I think the Saints will be probably heavily favored because of the small number.
I don't know about that. There's going to be a lot of the people are going to factor in a lot of the injuries and look at that Monday night game last week and say, you know, is this team the same?
67% of the, well, what I see here on covers.com shows, 67% of the bets are on New Orleans at the moment.
Well, what's the spread? Do we know?
It's three.
It was 4.5.
It opened at 5, went to 4.5, and now it's New Orleans -3 on the road.
You got a home dog with Detroit playing better. I mean, you know, Detroit blew that week one against Chicago. They could have had a touchdown with Swift in the end zone.
You want a trend?
I like trends.
I got a trend for you. How about this? How many times has Matt Patricia won back-to-back games in Detroit?
Oh, no.
In his career? Guess. How many times?
Once or twice.
Once.
Yeah.
Once. And now he's going to win back-to-back games against Arizona and New Orleans. I know it's square. And I was down on both these teams. I took the under in both these teams to start the year. Under in the Saints, under in the Lions. I'm hoping for a damn tie, honestly, because that would help me the most. But the fact that the Saints opened at 5 and we're down to 3 because of injuries, I still feel like New Orleans could just run Alvin Kamara all day and they could still win that game. Kamara was ridiculous if you watch that Monday night game against the Raiders. And back me up on that. How good was he against the Raiders?
Yeah, he's awesome. Been phenomenal every game this year.
And he was good against the Packers, too. Like, he was really good. He was their best player last
13 catches.
It finally took Green Bay to be like, we're not going to let him beat us.
Yeah, I mean, they literally had to throw the Alan Lazar like 400 times in order to win that game. So I'm just saying, I know the pros are all going to be on Detroit. All the pros are on Detroit at 4.5 and 5. I bet you New Orleans either wins by 7 or gets demolished. I mean, it's one of those games. I have no interest at 3. I think you missed the best number on Detroit. And I think if you like the Saints, 3 is great, but you absolutely missed the best number on Detroit. So if you want to take the Lions, you can't now.
What's the total?
You cannot do it. The total in the game is 54.
Okay, you ready for these?
Yep.
Both teams ranked 27th and 26th in points allowed, right? The total has gone over in 4 of the Saints' last 5 games just versus the Lions. They've combined for 62 points in the last 4 games, combined. So wow. 54 is the number. But these don't help the Lions whatsoever. And granted, this is a history of Saints props. The Saints are 7-1 straight up and against their spread in the last 8 games on the road.
And I think
who would have thought they were a better road team than a home team?
I think Breeze is something like 16-5 or something like that against the spread coming off back-to-back losses.
He's 12-0 in his last 12 games in October as the quarterback of the Saints.
Interesting. But just back-to-back losses. I mean, Breeze and the Saints usually back-to-back.
They're 8-0 against the spread the last 8 games on the road.
I want nothing to do with the game. Gun to my head. I'm taking the Saints in 3.
One last thing.
I think that's one last thing.
Just to back you, the Lions are 3-11 against the spread in their last 14 games overall. Now that's with multiple quarterbacks. Everything favors the Saints.
Stafford was hurt last year.
Everything favors the Saints, and I hate that square.
It's a square.
What's more square, that or Cardinals?
Cardinals.
Both teams on the road, too. Go ahead.
I will say this, that Thomas, Michael Thomas did practice this week. He was limited, but rule him out on Friday. Maybe they're just that confident.
Is there the MVP is pretty big. Is he's really valuable to that team.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I used to just think, all right, he caught a lot of passes and whatever. I'm starting to think that guy means a lot more to that team than just, like, the numbers, you know? Again.
He's not an MVP, though. I mean,
I agree with you.
But value-wise.
But the fact that he's not there and Breeze isn't right. And can we stop the Taysom Hill stuff?
Oh, you're going to see probably the most Taysom Hill this week.
Oh, yeah, easily.
Because
fumble helped you last week, right?
If there's someone stupid enough to fall for the Taysom Hill stuff, isn't it Matt Patricia? Aren't we talking about Patricia? Yeah. Isn't Patricia the guy who would fall for the Taysom Hill stuff?
You're going to see Taysom Hill at tight end. You're going to see him out of
everywhere.
The backfield.
Especially with no Jared Cook this week and no Michael Thomas and no Pete. They're going to use him as a blocker, use him as a tight end, use him as a quarterback. They're going to use him all over.
PJ's in Walpole. What's up, PJ?
Hey, guys. I just wanted to see what you thought about some of the Big 12 spreads, especially like Texas, Oklahoma. Usually the numbers are, like, on the over are ridiculously high, but it feels like they just don't play a lick of defense in Big 12, and the game is usually like
What games are you looking at? Cause we broke down the TCU-Texas game. If you look at it, dude, TCU has owned Texas. Even though Texas has been great, they have struggled. So, like, the total is 62, yeah, but TCU actually plays a little bit of D. And last week, Texas, I don't think their defense can respond. Like, they have to respond compared to what they did last week.
Right. I mean, they put up 63. I mean, the point total was like 119 last week. It's ridiculous, though.
That's the Big 12, though, in general, buddy. Like, you'll see K-State, Texas Tech today. They'll do that one. I'm trying to think of what other. Oh, and then the early game, we've been talking about this, Baylor, West Virginia.
West Virginia's played some defense. I've seen that, and that's strange.
Yeah, and Baylor's been pretty good on offensively. These are tough games. We were talking about the noon games earlier. The noon games today are tough. We did a podcast. If you want to hear a lot of our breakdown on it, it's on the website. But yeah, these totals in the Big 12. I mean, generally, if you're not on the over, you're going to lose. But today, I don't know. Things look a little different to me today.
I mean, what I'll tell you about the Texas game is they're playing Texas Tech. So, I mean, that is always a shootout. Texas Tech has a high-powered offense and a terrible defense. But what TCU is probably going to do, which Patterson usually does against Texas, ball control, run the ball, dink and dunk, short passes. You're not trying to hit the 95-yard play and give the ball right back to Ellinger in Texas. You're trying to control the clock against a better team with more talent. So, I mean, yes, you're looking at the totals. You're saying, wow, that's low. They scored 119 points last week. Well, yeah, but remember, there's going to be a different game plan going into this. Texas Tech is trying to hit, you know, just score offensively. TCU is going to go in with a different game plan. It's going to be a different type of game.
TCU winners last week and have been very good against Texas.
And I think Texas is going to try and do the same thing. Like, I think Texas is probably not going to try and score or, you know, need to score 63 because they're probably not going to need to keep up with TCU offensively. It's a different type of game. So,
real quick, TCU is 6-2 against Texas in their 3-1 in Austin.
They give that team a lot of trouble. They just do.
All right, Dan, let's take a quick break. Let's get into the Patriots-Chiefs, and then, of course, the big one today between the Georgia Bulldogs and Auburn, and then we got plenty of other 4 o'clock NFL games that we didn't
I want to talk about the Colts and Bears, too, because I think this spread, and I've gotten like 40 questions on it. How can the Colts be 2.5-point favorites on the road? And I kind of just want to talk about this.
And the Bears have a new quarterback. Yeah, we'll talk about that coming up on the other side, 98.5 The Sport.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show, 98.5 The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show with Joe Murray and Dan Lifschitz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Colts and Bears, 1 o'clock. Woof. Not like there are some games like, all right, when I open up the old Tucker, I open up the old book, you know, I see what we got for the day, and I'm like, Colts, Bears, nah. Jaguars, Bengals, nah. Browns, Cowboys, nah. Saints, Lions, okay, I'll circle it, and then I'll Seahawks, Dolphins, you know.
So what's the I mean, sorry to spring this on you, but I'm just out of curiosity, what's the point total on the Jacksonville Cincinnati game?
49.
I thought it was low when I saw it.
Yeah, I feel like that's games easily in the 30s.
But like when I look through teams. When I look through a card, I see Ravens, Washington. Ugh, yeah.
But since he has played some defense, Tuck, you know, especially at certain times, and I just feel like Jacksonville's two good games have come against division opponents, and then they finally played someone out of the division of Miami. I know it was a short week and Thursday, and they get blown the F out.
They should never be favorites. Never.
I think Cincinnati is the right side this.
No, what I'm saying is if Jacksonville's a favorite, you have to fade that.
Sure.
They should never. I don't care if they beat the Colts week one. I told you the trend on that week one. The Colts have never won in Jacksonville. Never. Like some of these things are real. And I was just going over the card with you guys. Like, yeah, Patriots Chiefs the best game of the day. Best game of the weekend, at least. Bears-Raiders is interesting. Bills-Raiders, excuse me. And then Eagles-49ers, whatever. Falcons-Packers is the night game. So maybe to your point, Dan, Bears and Colts is good because the Bears are 3-0 and they made a quarterback change.
They're 3-0, made a quarterback change, and they were, and it's now 2.5, but it was 3 yesterday. And people are asking me, how can you say that the Colts are 9 points better than the Bears at home? And I'm going to tell you that I think what's being baked into some of these numbers, especially in certain places, is, well, I don't think home teams are necessarily getting 3 points or 2.7 points or whatever you want to call it for being home anymore. And I think that you need to start adjusting your home values. And I think that's exactly what's happening here, Joe, because that would basically be saying the Colts are 9 points better, you know, at home and 6 points better on neutral field. It's just, it's not the case. So, but I do think is you're looking at maybe a 1 point home advantage, you know, maybe a 1 to 1.5 on either side, except for a place like Kansas City or a Denver or a place that has Seattle, like a place that has like a real advantage.
Can I give you a flip side on that? Yeah. If this game was Colts at home, it would have to be like 8.
It'd be 9. That's what I'm saying.
There you go. 9.
That's
what
I'm saying. Yeah. It would be, the Colts at home would be 9, but I don't think they would be.
This line's not right.
I think it is. I think what that's exactly what I'm saying. The home values are no longer being factored in like they once were. And I think this line is a perfect example of that, that the home field advantage is being discounted. I think this is the perfect game to show you that, Joe. Either that or Vegas field is really down on Nick Foles this year, which I would be shocked if that was the case, right?
All right, I got a couple of trends here for this one. The Bears are 11-3-1 in their last 15 games as a home underdog. The Colts, 0-6 straight up their last 6 games on the road. Now, they lost to Jacksonville, right, on the road.
Yep.
And then last year, probably we can't really count that now.
New quarterback.
The flip side of it is the Colts on the road against teams with winning records, 8-2 last 10.
It's a weird line, and people have been asking me about it all week, and this is kind of my point is I think, well, yes, I don't think the Colts are 9 points better than the Bears at home or 6 points on a neutral field, but I think that if you look into how you're now counting home field advantage and how you're calculating that and how you're valuing home field in some of these places that especially do not have fans like a Chicago, I think that you have to say, well, maybe that's a 1 point favor, or you know, maybe it's a 1 point addition, maybe it's a half point addition, maybe it's a 1.5. Whatever you want to believe that the value is, or whatever you calculate the value is, that's fine. But what this spread is telling you, that home field advantage is no longer being valued as it once was.
I'll tell you this much. Based off the Bears and their against the spread record, if we did a calendar year from last year into this year, they're 4-11 in 15 games against the spread.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. And again, I think you bring in full.
I think that's why they're a dog today, too, though. A dog tomorrow.
I wonder if there's a letdown coming off of last week's.
Yeah, they shouldn't be 3-0. I'm sorry.
No.
But is the Foles magic real? I think people are going to back that.
BDE. Can't say it on air, but BDE, you know what I mean? So like
Nick Foles energy.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know.
That's an interesting game to me. I'll tell you this much. I would be weary if you're going to back the Bears for the simple fact that, as I just pointed out, in the last 15 games, in anything, straight up against the spread, they're 4-11. That's not good.
In terms of sides, I think the Colts and the Bengals are my two favorite this week. I'm not going to PP any of them because I've been cold in the NFL. I don't want to go too deep. I think I gave out one on the podcast, but those are my two favorite sides.
Who's running the football now? Is it kid from Wisconsin?
Taylor, yeah. Taylor's the running back. Marlon Mack.
Good for him.
With the Achilles. And I think they're who's the third down back there? Oh, I'm blanking on it.
For the Colts?
Yes.
Nyheim Hines.
Nyheim Hines, thank you.
I'll tell you, though, the kid Taylor deserves this. Stud in college. Great player. Now that he's getting the touches, the only thing that worries me about him is he fumbled in college because he's small. He's got small hands. He's having a decent year, 2 touchdowns so far.
He's a good player.
Let's see what he can do against that Bears defense. I want to switch things over to college quickly, and then we'll highlight that Patriots game. This Georgia-Auburn game, let's be honest. I had Auburn last week. They didn't play great.
They were. I'm going to keep saying it. Kentucky deserved to win that game outright, in my opinion.
But I thought that the issue with Auburn was more their defense than their offense. I feel like at times Gus Malzahn is just not good as an offensive coordinator.
He's just not good in general.
And Bo Nix, do think, though, is a good quarterback that's athletic.
He made a throw last week. I think we should talk about this podcast. It was unbelievable. Perfect spot. He was such a on the run. Such a good throw.
He's so good on the run. The problem is they don't put him in the run enough. They don't. They like have him like as a flat-footed quarterback. Some guys just aren't that quarterback.
They don't like to bootleg him.
And maybe it's the injuries. I don't know. Maybe and the guys in the SEC get fast on the edge. So maybe that's something. All I'm saying is this. You're playing Georgia today. Forget about who's the quarterback at Georgia. Their defense is stout. When I tell you stout, a lot of these guys are going pro. Like Nix has to be great today. I backed Nix on the road last year against Florida and that Florida defense, and they lost. So based off that history, I don't like him going on the road against that defense, Dan. Now, they're getting 7.5 points, though. That Florida game, they were 3-point favorites. Who's the quarterback today for Georgia?
I don't know. And that's, I think that's a problem. Is it Stetson Bennett who relieved Juan Mathis last week? Mathis was so bad. You cannot play that kid again. I'm sorry. You can't. 0 points against Arkansas. Or was it 3 points? 3 points against Arkansas in the first half. I think they got a safety too. So they had 5 points in the first half. 3 points in the first half versus Arkansas? Take a seat, son. You cannot. Bennett was really good in the second half for them. And I don't know if JT Daniels is going to be cleared in time. I was just looking this up. I don't know who's going to start a quarterback. I assume it's going to be Bennett and Daniels. If Daniels plays, I assume it's going to be Bennett. It's terrifying. I mean, listen, I know that Georgia defense is really good, Joe. I get it. But
How the hell can you want to back that team after that offensive performance in week one? Now, they almost covered. They had a fantastic second half. And you're going to say, well, they're probably more of the second half team than the first half team. Fully agree. Nonetheless, it doesn't change the fact that that team could not get a damn thing going on offense. Not a single thing. They were putrid. Down at halftime to Arkansas. Like, with your boy who's running as the Arkansas quarterback, Felipe Franks. Like, we both know Franks is not very good. It's just, I don't know, man. It's an Auburn or nothing spot to me. I'm not touching it.
All right. I bet on all these games. I'm a huge Bo Nix fan. I don't know what it is. I get maybe it was the Bo and Auburn, and I don't know. I was a Bo Jackson guy, so that whatever. Last year, Georgia went up 21-0 in this game. If you remember, Bo Nix brought them back 21-14. They lost. They had a chance to win at the end, and Nix got sacked. They lost 21-14 last year by 7 points at home. They went up, again. They went up 21-0. Jake Fromm was on that team. Now they return. They play a year later. Bo Nix is better. Auburn is not as good as they were last year. That defense is nowhere near. That D line is nowhere near as good as they were, and they're going to lose one of their D linemen for that for the ejection or whatever from last week
for the first half, right?
Yep. So I think Georgia's defense is outstanding. Their offense is in question. So like, where does the 7.5? I think this should be 3. I don't know why.
It's in Georgia, so, I mean, you know, obviously you're going to get that. I think you're probably going to see a lot of people backing Auburn, especially after that Georgia performance, and Auburn maybe under Vay. The problem why I don't want to take Auburn today is because I looked at Auburn last week, and I said, well, I think Kentucky outplayed you. You weren't good on third down if you were Auburn, okay? You didn't convert nearly as much as Kentucky. If you had a touchdown, the guy was 3 feet in the effing end zone, and they didn't call it a touchdown. So you got a break right before half. Otherwise, you're going into, you know, halftime down by however much it was, 3-6. I don't care, whatever it was. Okay. So you caught a break there. The guy had a Terry Wilson had basically what a ghost fumble, didn't get tackled, just dropped the balls. He's making a spin coming back from injury. Like, Auburn got lucky last week. They just did. They got lucky. They got lucky they covered into that game. They did not deserve that. They were not the better team. So I think you're going to see a lot of people ignoring that performance, looking at the final score, backing them, and taking a look at the first half of Georgia last week and saying, oh, you know, Georgia wasn't good versus Arkansas. And I think that that's not totally true because they were great in the second half.
I think the Auburn receivers have to play well. And they've got a kid named Schwartz who's been really good. Him and Nix have made a good connection. I agree with you, Dan. I think it's Auburn or nothing here, but we're going to see Georgia on display at home. And I've said this before. I love Florida this year. If Georgia can beat Auburn today, they only have to beat Florida to go to the SEC championship game.
And to be fair, it was a very much a look ahead spot for Georgia last week. I mean, really looking at Auburn compared to,
I mean, Kentucky, Arkansas? I know, but Kentucky.
Well, yeah, but not for Auburn. Auburn's not, maybe not be a look-ahead spot for Auburn, but I'm saying for Georgia, looking past Arkansas, even though it's your season opener, looking past Arkansas to Auburn is not something I put past them, especially since it's Arkansas.
This is a hell of a game for, fourth Saturday of the year? Decide who's coming out in the SEC?
I think it's a really, really good game. And between that and the Florida game, I think the Florida game is interesting, too. And I think the Texas game is interesting. The Oklahoma game, which we have not really dug much into, is interesting. Like, I think we have some pretty good games. There's nothing, you know, number 5 versus number 4 in the country. I mean, maybe A&M, Florida, Alabama gets your attention. But I think there's some good
games.
It
does, but not doesn't light the needle like Auburn and Georgia for me.
Again, probably a look ahead for A&M to open the season opener last week versus Vanderbilt, but boy, were they bad.
You know what? Let's do this. Give me Auburn plus 7.5 PP.
Bang.
Scare money, make no money.
I like it.
It's the DraftKings Over-Under Show. We'll talk to you after this.
The DraftKings Over-Under Show with the Bankroll Boys. 98.5, the Sports Hub. It's the show where you never have to hedge your bets.
Get it?
The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, DraftKings over-under show. He's Dan Lifshatz. I'm Joe Mario. We got about 20 minutes left if you guys want to call in on any game from the weekend. 617-779-0985. I just want to just pose this. We brought this up on the podcast for those who want to listen to it. Just go to the app or the website, 985 The Sports Hub. You go to podcasts, you click over under 985. You can actually hear every podcast we've done. I think we've done like 80 plus.
93. This week.
Okay, whatever. So you can listen to this week's, and we broke down every college game, which just takes a long, long time.
Yes.
And a long time. And we break down every NFL game as well. So we give out these, we call PPs, they're podcast players, or the plays that we feel strong about this week. You know, it's last year there was a thing where if you just, you know, played all the plays and at the end of the week you'd make money. It was one of those things. I don't want to bring up COVID and things happening in the world, but it is affecting the betting lines. It is, especially in college football. Some teams can't practice. We just saw in the NFL, you know, the Titans and Steelers get moved to October 25th. It just affects things, you know. The betting hasn't been it's been a strange year is all I can say. And you know, all I want to say is we give out these picks. These are what we believe. But like in the end, it's your decision to like follow what we say or fade what we say. Dan, there are guys that I see on Twitter and I like and I make a pick and I'm like, I'm just going to fade this guy. And sometimes I just do it just to do it.
Gotcha.
All I'm saying is, yeah, yes, we are in the trenches every week. Some weeks are right, some weeks you're wrong. I just think in the end, it is your decision to like our play, follow our play, or dislike our play. I feel like we give you the insight for this is like yeah, we give plays, but like at the same time, we discuss every game. So like, use that insight to make your own decisions sometimes, and then you could make millions of dollars. Not like we have millions or anything, but go ahead.
No, we do not.
I just wanted to just get that out there.
No, it's fine. I agree. I don't have much to say there. I think we've talked about that.
Patriots and Chiefs. The line hasn't moved, has it?
Kind of sucks. It's not the Sunday night game, huh?
I don't want to work Sunday night.
So, yeah, okay, fair enough.
No, 425 is fine. It was okay. 425 last year.
I just wish it was a prime time.
All right, I'm going to get these out of the way. The last three times these teams have played, time of possession and rushing the football has favored the Patriots. Now, in the last game, they only rushed for 93 yards, but they had 25 minutes of time possession. If that N'Keal Harry touchdown goes, they're in control.
Right?
Oh, yeah, so at the end of the game.
Right, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure they win the game. Key to beat the Chiefs, the Patriots have had success doing it, is time of possession and rushing. They rushed for 173 yards that first game. That AFC Championship game, they rushed for over 150. So, like, last year they only rushed for 93. They've been the highest rushing team in football, Dan. Like,
people don't remember that first half of that game. They shut Kansas City out. Like, literally blanked them.
I think there's a recency bias of looking at what the Chiefs just did this week. I, in a way, I feel like the Chiefs probably win the game is how I feel. In reality, I think the Chiefs win this game. It's just, can the Patriots control the football, run the football, and be successful, but also play good defense? And I just don't think we've seen the defense play well enough this year. If they're the best secondary in football, they're going to have to be that this week.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely the arguably, in my opinion, the deepest secondary in football. I mean, they have, I'd say, four legitimate starting cornerbacks, right? J.C. Jackson, Gilmore, Jonathan Jones, who I admit has not been good this year.
They're going to put him on Tyreek Hill this week.
Yeah, I think that's going to be dangerous. They're going to have to give him safety help over the top. McCourty is going to have to play and rotate towards Hill, and you're going to with Jones, and you're going to have to leave whoever else on an island.
Williams on Kelsey. Yeah. See, the guy I think that's going to hurt you this week is Mecole Hardman. I think he's the guy that someone's going to be open. And the other thing is, who's the guy you take away? To me, it's Kelsey. I think you have to take Kelsey away. That's kind of like his binky. And the other thing this year is the Patriots have given up two deep balls. That's the one thing that they never did was give up deep plays. They've done that a couple of times this year. So, you know, and I'm still curious if they can stop Allaire. If anybody listened to that game this week.
That was brutal.
I just think there's so many options. At the same time, I look at that number seven, and I still think they can be around that number. It's just, I think the Chiefs just are going to win the game. I just don't know if they cover it.
I think Kansas City is going to win the game, too. I think the Patriots have a chance, though. Again, and Tuck, feel free to interject here, too. We have seen the Patriots dominate time possession with hard running. The Patriots are now the number one running team, I believe, in the league. Okay. Against, now Kansas City was really good against Baltimore, right? Really good. And I think that Baltimore's early success was running the football. Then they got away with it.
Away with it.
And then when they went to the passing game, and then they tried to come back to it. But by that point, you know, Kansas City's already keyed into kind of what you're doing. If the Patriots continue to establish the run, it sounds like maybe Damian Harris is going to play this week. I know Sony Michel is questionable.
You
got to
get James White back going.
James White's back at practice. So, I mean, like, you're going to potentially have three or four rushing options, plus Cam Newton, obviously Rex Burkhead. Like, you're going to have, you know, some real legitimate ability. And Chris Jones is questionable, too, I think, this week. You're going to have some real ability to run the ball. So, if you can do that, you can control the time of possession, you can limit the number of possessions that Kansas City has, maybe force a three and out or just get a stop here and there, I think the Patriots will have a chance to win this game. Now, I'm not advising you to take them on the money line. I'm just saying I think the Patriots are going to play a competitive ball game this week. I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I don't think it's going to look like Baltimore. And I think for as good as Andy Reid has been, the Patriots have the coaching advantage every week. They continue to have that again this week. So that's what I would say. I'd still give the edge to Belichick and the Patriots and what they do and time possession and running the ball. And I think that Cam Newton on play action is going to be able to hit some big plays this week. They're going to run the ball. They're going to set up the pass. I think they're going to be able to hit some big plays.
I mean, when's the last time we've seen Belichick be a 7-point dog? Like, what are we talking about here?
With Jimmy Garoppolo.
Arizona? Garoppolo, yeah.
Okay. They won outright.
They won outright, yep.
I think it's as simple as that.
Cam Newton's career, though, his first game against Andy Reid when he was in Philly, threw for over 300 yards and rushed well. The last two times he played the Chiefs, they've lost. But that was a different Cam Newton.
It was, and it's also not Belichick.
The one thing is this, guys. The Patriots have struggled stopping teams on third down. Last week, they did well against the Raiders. They did not do well against Seattle, who put the ball up in the air and beat them deep. And just looking at some of these trends here, the Chiefs rank first in third down conversion this year.
I just think it's going to be very tough for Kansas City to win back-to-back games against the Ravens and the Patriots, especially coming off a Monday Night Football game.
Yeah, short week.
But they're at home.
Yep. No, not a lot of fans, though.
There will be fans. Yeah, not a lot of
non-factor.
The Chiefs are 8-0 against the spread the last eight games at home.
Yeah, I mean, listen, the Kansas City is a really, really good football team. Are they the best team in the NFL? Probably. I still think it's very tough to go short week, as Tuck said, playing a Belichick coach team. And, I mean, again, you know that the Patriots are going to try and bait them in the mistakes. That's what Belichick does every week. That's what we saw last week against the Raiders. The Raiders absolutely killed themselves with penalties. We saw it in the AFC Championship game when the Chiefs made mistakes. The offside on D Ford cost them the game. I'm just saying.
He had another one this week. Every week I watch that guy. I'm like, Jesus.
Kansas City. I'm just saying. I'm not picking the Patriots to win. I'm just saying I think it's going to be a ball game.
I don't really know this, so I'm just asking out loud. What's Uche's status?
I don't know.
They just brought up the kid Pinkney from Miami, who is stud at Pinkney.
Is he not expected to play?
I don't think he's going to play.
I think he could be a weapon in the blitz or something.
Yeah, my only thing is, I hate to say this is a big problem to have, but like now that you have all these running backs, what are you going to do with them?
You know, run them?
No, but where are you going to play them? You know, like Michelle got going last week, but he's on the injury report. But do you want to take Damian Harris off and get him going this week? You got to play James White.
Yeah.
And Rex Burkhead, until he, gets hurt again,
I'd like
to ride that train.
Yeah, I think you're going to see another steady rotation of all the Patriots backs.
And I love that this week.
I'd play six backs if you had to. I'd go with
against this team.
But who's the other wide receiver you're going to go with?
You can line Rex Burkhead up in the slot, yeah, run him in motion. Slot.
White,
I mean,
too,
you,
yeah.
You know,
no, I'm just saying, yep, that look could help the Patriots. I don't think the linebackers of the Chiefs are great by any means. I don't. I just don't think it's a blowout. I do think the Chiefs win. I do.
Me too.
I think the Chiefs probably win, and they probably ultimately cover if you're going by that trend. But I think the Patriots are going to keep this a game. I think that you're going to come away looking at this like another Seattle game and be like, well, they lost, but it was impressive, and they were in that game.
Michael's in Salem. What's going on, Michael? You're on the Sports Hub.
Yeah. Hey, guys. So just to switch gears here really quick, I wanted to ask you guys about the line for the Alabama-Texas A&M game this afternoon. Last I saw, it was at Alabama minus 16.5, but that was a couple days ago. The line may have shifted a little bit.
It's 18
but,
now.
I mean, I don't know if you guys agree, but I like Alabama today. Their offense obviously doesn't have as high of a ceiling as they did last year with Tagovailoa and guys like Henry Ruggs and Jerry Jeudy. But the defense this year has a lot more of a swagger to them now that they have Dylan Moses anchoring the defense in the middle. He was out last year with an ACL. I was just wondering what your thoughts were.
Cool. They're still good. They didn't cover last week, but they took all their guys out.
Right. So, I mean, again, what I'd say about Bama is, I first off, I disagree with him with his offensive statement. I think Mac Jones is a better.
Talked about this. Mac Jones would have been like 5 games last week, more than every other quarterback.
And they still have 2 potential first-round picks as wide receivers. Like, I mean, they have plenty in terms of the offensive explosion, and they're probably going to be
the wide receiving core was.
Najee Harris is the best running back in college football, maybe. Yep. I mean, they have a very good
balance. Jalen Waddle will be a first round pick, probably. I'm not a huge Kellen Mond guy, and I know Jimbo Fisher has turned that team around. A&M didn't really show me much last week.
Devonta Smith, their other wide receiver too. He might be a first round pick.
What was the line right now, Dan?
It is 18 now. 18. Again, Texas A&M was terrible versus Vanderbilt last week. Horrendous. It's probably a look-ahead line, a look-ahead spot for them, and so that's probably why they were so bad against Vandy. If you're going to ride Alabama, I'd maybe look for a stop, because if it gets out of control, they're going to bench their starters the same way it did. At the same time, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people with the same viewing, the same angle. It could very well be a Texas A&M backdoor. I think this is one of the games where we don't really know about A&M, and we haven't seen Alabama play a complete football game. So you're going to have to use whatever you feel is best. You missed the best number with Alabama. The key number of 17, which I think is not a super key number, but, you know, an important number. You missed it. It's 18. So, you know, if you're taking Alabama at this point, know you're already at a disadvantage that way.
Josh Uche on the IR, just to throw that out there. And finally, we 2 teams that are on the list, the non-betting list. We'll talk about those games coming up as we wrap up the show, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is the DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Who you got? These guys have the answer. Joe Murray, Dan Lifschitz. The DraftKings Over-Under Show on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Right, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Wrap it up here with a couple, Dan. 2 teams that are on my list are the Eagles and the Falcons. Out. Out! No more betting the Falcons. No more betting the Eagles. Out!
I wanted to talk about that Eagles game, but we're not going
to. Them out! And you know what's funny, Dan?
They're 7-point dogs to Nick Mullins.
You know what? I would take them this week. I would take them this week, and I'm not doing it.
They're 7-point dogs to Nick effing Mullins without the starting running back. Like, what is going on there? I know Deebo Samuel's coming back, but
Kittle, too.
I think Kittle's playing now.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, yeah,
back.
Okay. Yeah. So, but it's Nick Mullins.
7 points. I know.
Points.
Dan, all right, how about this? I want the Eagles, and I won't do it.
Things have gone.
I won't do it.
It's crazy.
Talk to me at 8 o'clock.
Phillies.
When someone says, Joe, who do you like at 8 o'clock?
Phillies.
I'm going to tell you Eagles, but you're not going to bet it.
Philly is 4 points worse on a neutral site.
The Eagles, I hate them.
Nick Mullins and the 49ers at quarterback with no defensive line. They lost like 3 of their defensive
line. Who's been worse, the Eagles or the Falcons?
I'd say the Falcons.
I'd say the Eagles.
The Eagles at least have a tie.
True.
The Falcons collapsed to Dallas.
A tie or losing.
Chicago back to back. It's bad.
They're so bad.
All right, can I give you – let me give you a pee-pee here before we go.
Yes.
Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, under 52.5. Pee-pee. Listen, Western Kentucky with Tyrell Pigrome from the transfer from Maryland has been bad. They have been bad. They are regressing very much. Now, Middle Tennessee was better last week. They almost beat UTSA, lost on a two-point conversion, didn't win that game, but they covered, thankfully. I expect to see a similar type game. It's a 7-point spread. I think they're going to be in the game. I think you're going to end up seeing Asher O'Hara, who finally rebounded last week. He'll be better. He'll be okay. He'll probably come down a little bit from last week's production. And Western Kentucky offensively, man, I know they were good versus Louisville. They scored like 24 points against Louisville, like, or whatever it was. And it was a backdoor touchdown, which got them to that point. Offensively, they have been bad. Middle Tennessee offensively has been bad. And everyone's going to be on the over this game because they're going to see what these two defenses have done. I think you're looking at an under. I'm going with under 52.5.
All right, Dan. Well, I was going to give out a 3:30 play, but you know what? You're going to have to wait till later now. I'll do it on Twitter.
Don't be that guy. Just
pick. All right. Just give the pick.
What's the Memphis line right now?
Memphis line is a pick'em, Joe. It is back Memphis, to a pick'em.
Pick'em. Lock it up.
There you go.
Lock it. Don't give me that, Dan, though. Hey, before we leave, Dan, what are your thoughts on the Buffalo Bills going to the Raiders?
I think they're going to be hungover, personally.
I mean, they got bailed out by a ref last week, right? I don't know. I want to take Vegas so bad, but I've already been wrong about Buffalo, and I don't want to double.
Yes, that's why I'm
I don't
doing
want
to
quadruple
to
down on being wrong.
That's why I'm doing this. To
I'm
you.
Aware. I don't want to quadruple down on being wrong. So like it's a lose lose for me. It doesn't matter what happens here. It's a lose lose. I'm going to, you know what, Joe? You pick it. How about that? You pick it. Or you know what, Tim?
Buffalo.
Go ahead. You
hey,
pick
Tim,
it.
Tim, what do you like?
McCone,
Buffalo?
What do you like?
Or the Raiders.
The Bills are 3.5 points.
It's a three and a half.
I told Lifshatz this. When I first started doing radio, I was out of college. I was making like $4 an hour in Worcester. But it was like the first time I was actually making money. So I started dabbling in terms of gambling. I think I lost my first 11 games, and I've never gambled since. So just fade me, as you guys would say.
Well, this is what I suggest.
I'm going to go with the Bills.
Write all the wins that you want down.
Yeah.
And then go the other way.
That's not a bad move. Maybe I just do that. Yeah.
And then see if it works. And if you do really well, the next week, take it. it's like every week, you know? Well, we could make a Twitter account. Tim's picks.
Tim's fades.
Tim's fades. Tim's fades. And just follow. I mean, we already fade the show. What's it called? Whatever it is on TV, the
wager. Tim's hot dog eating fans.
That thing's a moneymaker. Today they like TCU, Dan. So I don't know.
Oh, man.
I wonder if we have to fade that one now.
What did Preston like? Preston likes something. Just, man, yeah.
Whatever they pick.
Go the opposite
way,
really?
Because they're really bad, man. All right, Tim McCone's next. I don't know. Basketball. There's a football game. There's Tuukka Rask out of the Red Sox manager. I mean, there's so much to talk about. There's the refs, too. I mean, I don't know. They see that WNBA game last night, man.
We're going to start WNBA finals. I thought Sue Bird was fantastic
there
last night.
There we go. So, that's my guy, Tim McCone, making fun of the WNBA. Not nice, Tim. That's not nice.
And I'm sorry we didn't bring up the BC North Carolina game.
We never got to it.
Pick it.
Unfortunately.
Pick it. Joe, who you like?
Ooh, Mac ball, baby.
Yeah, by the way, I think the spread's like 14.5 now.
Whoa.
Let me double check that. Hold on.
What's the total? You should lead off with that.
Yeah. The total is 54.
Djokovic versus Howell.
50, some pregame.
54, the spread's 14.5.
Yeesh.
Does the hook make you take BC?
Ooh.
Tuck says under.
I know nothing about college football.
Tuck says under.
Who did BC just barely beat last week?
Texas State.
Yeah.
It was a look-ahead spot. Look ahead to North Carolina.
Right. Trakovic, right. Very good quarterback. UNC. All right, I got to get out of here. For Dan, for Tucker, for Jeff, Tim McCone, the Zone. He's next here on 98.5 The Sports.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.